This morning's reading can be found in the Church Bibles on page 948, or it is printed inside the link sheet that you received this morning. It's taken from Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. The promised glory of the new house. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the 17th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealti, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Zadok, at the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Zadok, the high priest. Be strong, all of the people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The glory of God. Glory is probably not a word we use very often. What is glory? I mean, there's the glory of the sun. Don't know if you've ever thought, oh, it's a glorious day. And what that probably means is, we can't look at the sun directly, we shouldn't do that, but somehow we can feel the heat on our faces, perhaps on our bodies, as we're stretched out by a pool. Some people are just yawning already, just the thought of relaxing. It's a great feeling. There's a sense of radiance. You can see the shadows. So we can't see the sun, but we see the effects of the sun. And there are times, well, we know we can't look directly at God, but there are times we can feel the warmth. Some of us have felt that this morning, the warmth of God's smile on our lives. And it's a beautiful thing, his radiance. That's the Aaronic blessing, not ironic, Aaronic. The blessing of Aaron in Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to smile or shine. That's what it means, upon you. And there are moments when we feel the glory of God, his radiance upon our lives. I was very blessed to grow up in a Christian church. I used to think I was not blessed because I grew up in a Christian church, because I heard people who had fantastic testimonies of how they were, you know, bandits and drug smugglers, and then when they got to the wise age of 9, they discovered God. And I felt very inadequate because my testimony seemed so poor in comparison. But I realized testimonies are not a competitive sport like that, really. Is there God in my life from now? And actually, there was. But I was blessed in the church I grew up in when I was about 16. And this isn't sort of Christian exaggeration. There are about 200 in my youth group. Nothing to do with me. I was just blessed in being in a group. And in Guernsey, the Channel Islands, that is a big group. It was phenomenal. There was a move of God. When I was 16 or 17, I was a member of a school. But in another local school, the Holy Spirit fell on the sixth form. It was just a sovereign thing. And I would say over half the sixth form made a commitment to Jesus Christ in one term. It was just fantastic. It's not that everyone did, but so many did. And even years later, I remember meeting people who said yes to Jesus at that amazing time. What do we do with memories of God doing extraordinary things, activities by his Spirit in the past? Because those sort of stories can cut both ways. They can stir us up and say, yes, God can do it. But they also can be really discouraging. I don't know if you enjoy being with really passionate Christians. I'm going to be going to New Wine, which I'm excited about. But I always remember going to one superb seminar led by a man full of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'd love to be leading a seminar called What to Do When You Can't Stop the Healings, or What to Do When Your Church Just Keeps Growing, or even said, Paper Management Made Easy. But instead, he actually led one called What to Do When Life's Crap. And New Wine said he could lead it as long as he changed the title. So I think it was changed to In Times of Challenge. But we knew what he meant. And memories of the past when God did wonderful things but seems now an ancient history. Think, well, what am I doing wrong? Will it ever happen again? There's some brilliant psalms. Psalm 77, for example. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. I mean, moments when God seemed so close. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject us forever? Because it's nothing like that now. Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? I mean, is this the season or is this the new reality forever? Has God forgotten to be merciful? I mean, maybe God's changed. Or is it a decision? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Maybe it's me. I mean, maybe others will be blessed, but just not me. And some of you, I'm sure, will have asked those sort of questions. And it's a bit like that for the prophet Haggai and for the people of the land as they return from the land of exile. So we've got through the icons around the church. We're on this final chapter, Return from Babylon. And at the top, underneath the speaker, you can see the name Haggai. In a moment, we'll be sort of in a couple of weeks, we're looking at Zechariah and others in the final home straight. It seemed wonderful in some ways because they were back in the promised land. God, in his providence, raises up Cyrus, and he was a king of Iran. And the wonderful thing was, Cyrus had a completely different kind of foreign policy. It was really benign, unlike some of the other people before him. He said, well, it wasn't that he didn't want migrants. He said, we've got all these people in our land. Why don't we just let them go home on the promise they'll, you know, they can rebuild their temples, but they can pray for us as well. We'll still get a bit of tribute from them. And so in 593 BCE, he issues an edict that all the exiles can go back to their original homelands. And at that moment, the people of God say, fantastic, the ancient promises of God spoken through Jeremiah are now being fulfilled. After 70 years, they make it home. Hallelujah. But what awaited them there was awful. The land was devastated. It's the sort of thing we've seen on our screens from other parts of the world. It's just been flattened. The Jerusalem temple is just rubble. And so under Nehemiah and Ezra, they start rebuilding the walls, their houses, and Haggai 1 is about saying, actually, you've built your houses now. What about my house? Come on, guys. What about me? That's why it's not going so well, because you haven't prioritized. Well, that's Haggai chapter 1. It's a great book. It's only two chapters. Don't you love short books of the Bible? But in chapter 2, there's some quite poignant words. Verse 3, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? So most of the people, of course, had died during that exile, those 70 years. But there were a few old people who came back and said, I mean, they did start rebuilding, but it was so pathetic compared with the former glory. And that's what God recognizes. How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Wonder if you felt that. When you're trying to build something, and then there's memories from the past of it, but we're doing our best, but our best isn't really very good always. Does it not seem to you like nothing? There's a very sad story it sort of reminds me of from 1 Samuel chapter 4, when the Ark of the Covenant, that was the box which had Aaron's rod, some manna, and the Ten Commandments. And it was like the place where they felt God is most especially present with his people. And it was taken by enemies because of the people's folly. And lots of leaders die, and there's a little baby boy born, an orphan. That very day, it's lost. And they call the baby Ichabod, which is Hebrew for the glory has departed. I wonder if you perhaps feel something of that in your spiritual journey. It's not that we don't believe in God or don't think he could do it. It just feels there's not an awful lot of glory at the moment. The glory's departed. And that makes any kind of building work hard work. So that's how the people feel as Haggai is speaking. The glory's departed. The best, well, that's in the past. And it's a picture of hopelessness. And it's at that very moment God speaks to his people through Haggai. And they're words of encouragement. But now, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land. And work. Don't lose heart. Keep going with your work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. So three times we've got that exhortation. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. So just turn to your neighbor and say, how do you be strong? I mean, it's nice to be the one telling someone else to do it. How do you be strong? 30 seconds, just work out the answer to that. How do you be strong? Okay, so you've got the answer now. Some of you are talking about your lunch, so we'll call us. I'll click my fingers and you'll be back in the room. And actually, you might have come up with different answers. The fact, though, that he says, be strong, it suggests we have a role to play. It's not just a sovereign act of God. We make a choice. We choose courage over despair, even when we don't always feel capable of it. And God says through Haggai, my spirit is with you. My spirit. I do think it's to do with the spirit of God. And don't be afraid. Because the same message is given just below Haggai. You see the name Zechariah. And Zechariah 4, we read, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And Isaiah, he says, God says, those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength. So there's an act of courage and just choosing to continue working, but there is also opening ourselves to the sovereign work of God by his Spirit and having our strength renewed. And the effect of God's Spirit is always wonderful. And so Haggai is actually able to speak hope and encouragement. I will fill this house with glory. Because that's what was missing. His presence, it just all felt so flat. And then this beautiful promise, and actually I want to receive this into my heart where it's a bit wounded or unbelieving. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. I mean, that must have been impossible for them to imagine. But God says, I want you to receive this. The glory of this present house, which just looks like a wooden shed compared with Solomon's amazing structure. But it's a different kind and a greater kind of glory. And I just want to speak hope and encouragement to you, because you know the struggles you're facing. I know mine. But I know that I need courage and hope, and I need the Spirit of God. And whatever God has done in the past by His Spirit, we say thank you. But it's not to say, oh, the former glory compared with the current. God says now can be greater than then. Jesus even said that, didn't he? You will do even greater things. I think, well, yeah, he says that, but we don't really expect that to be true. I think Jesus did expect it, even greater things by his Spirit. And so I do want to encourage you. Core is the heart of courage, heart, core, the French or Latin. To be encouraged is to be given new heart. Build yourself up in the Lord. Ask others to pray. I was so glad that we were able to model that earlier. But it's not a Sunday thing. It's a whole life. Getting those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. On the Sunday link sheet, I've decided to start putting some questions. I know, and it's great that many of you, most of you perhaps, are in home groups, midweek groups, to continue inspiring, encouraging, challenging one another. But for those of you perhaps who aren't, we've got that passage on the inside from Haggai 2. And then four questions, just to help you journey through this week, I hope. Is there anything you're trying to build? I mean, what's the task that you have? And what's it for? Why are you building it? Three times God says, be strong. What do you need strength for today? What memories from the past discourage you in your discipleship? We have to train our minds not to be discouraged. And if God were to fill this house with glory, what would that look like? I think if we're going to be a people of prayer, we need to actually visualize what glory looks like so that we're praying our intercessions, our seeking something that we really believe God is able and wanting to do. So, Father, thank you for all the times you've worked in our lives in the past. Thank you for every time when we've seen something of your glory. But we know there's so much more. And we don't want to be those who live in the past and say, well, those were the good old days. Because as you said in John 2, when you turn water into wine, you've saved the best till now. Lord, help us to believe you've saved the best till now. Whatever our circumstances, now, today is the day of salvation. And so, Lord, we seek you as fully and ably as we're able to. And we put our trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.